Simple title this morning, Two Families, Two Births. I would venture to say that everyone who has ever lived or ever will live, and who has at least obtained an age where they can understand a little bit of life, that is, they're not just an infant, can relate and knows the fact of the first birth, the physical birth. They understand and understand life and understand something about birth, and they also understand something of their family roots, whether or not they've ever studied it or know a lot of detail, or even, I'll comment on it again, have even met their parents. One, just being alive as a human being, people generally understand that it's a fact, there's physical life, and there's got to be some family roots someplace that have brought that life to us. But I would also say to you, not everyone, in fact, according to the scripture, few or a minority, understands and knows and can even relate to the fact that there is a second birth that is needed, and that we all, and I say that intending to say all, are a part of a second family. And that family is either the family of God or the family of Satan. Very few people understand that. They understand the first one, the physical birth, because that's part of our life. But I would say that based on those that find the narrow path, there are very few that really understand this second family, second birth, and the fact that reality is you're part of either the family of God or the family of Satan. This text that is before us gives us some insight into this dual relationship that I will be talking about this morning as the Lord Jesus Christ introduced it. But let us remain with our understanding of the context. Scripture often can be taught, preached, taught in small groups, in Christian growth classes from the pulpit, even memorized in Scripture, and a lot of stuff is taken out of context. What is going on with Dr. Luke, and what is going on with his presentation? Well, just as you look at your Bibles there, since chapter 8, verse 1, if you would just scan there, the focus has been on proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. Proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God in this particular chapter. Telling others, if you will, of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The fact that Jesus is the Messiah promised of the Old Testament. And that he came to this earth and he came to bring eternal life. He came to bring about a second birth. And that is the center and focus, proclaiming this kingdom. And since then, in this chapter, Luke has continued to talk about the message given and the responses to that message. The responses to the message were clearly seen in that through verse 15, in what is commonly referred to as the sower and the seed. He clearly pointed out not everyone responds in a positive way. There is not an overwhelming response in a positive way to the message of proclaiming the gospel or the kingdom of God. And that is partly because there are various type of hearts that seed or the word of God falls on. And that is still true today in the year 2017 and will continue as long as the Lord Jesus Christ tarries. Then we saw as he continued on that he charged in verses 16 to 18, just prior to where we are this morning. We preached on this 2 weeks ago as Billy Michaud was with us last week. As we preached on this, he charged, be careful how you listen to the word of God. And that was the emphasis, though there are many passages that deal with the fact that we are to let our light shine And we made very clear to you that verses 16 to 18 are not talking about letting your light shine. It is still talking about the message of the gospel. And it is talking about the light of the gospel. And it is talking about the preaching of the word of God. And it clearly told us, be careful how you listen. And that is clear from verse 18. Take care how you listen. That is the emphasis of it. And that we are not to hide the message. This is not talking about hiding your testimony. This passage was talking about clearly in Luke, hiding the word of God, or as we gave by practical application to you, which is commonly done, adding to the word of God and covering it so that the plain preaching of the word of God or what God has said is not even seen anymore. It's hidden. It's hidden and overwhelmed by theology, by religion, of stuff that has been added to the word of God so that people can't even detect what the word is anymore. And so we need to be careful about that. And now as we come to these three verses, this is actually the end of the section. So as Luke has been presenting it to us and talked about the kingdom of God, next week, Lord, well, it'll be actually 2 weeks from today because next week will be special in a sense of what we're going to be doing with the presentation of the various ministries. But I will come back to Luke in 2 weeks, Lord willing, and we'll see that he stills the seas and he moves into a different area. But he's closing out this area and ending this section by making a distinction between two families. And in the light of, which is why I went back to the review, the kingdom of God and the preaching of the word of God. And by noting that really, and I'll say it right up front, it is only those who hear and listen to the message and then obey it. It isn't just hearing the gospel. It isn't just memorizing scripture. It isn't just filling your life with a lot of Bible information. Those who hear and obey, they truly are the children of God. And only they are the children of God and have experienced the second birth. So let's deal with these two families and two births right here in the text. First of all, family number one and birth number one, verses 19 and 20. Let me read them again. And his mother and brothers came to him, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you. What is this dealing with? It's dealing with family number one. It's dealing with birth number one. And very simply put, this is biological. Now, I know that today, in 2017, people do not like the term of biological when it comes to male and female. Nevertheless, I want you to see this is dealing with biological. All who have been born physically into this world have experienced this birth. They have experienced this family. They are related to a mom and a dad. Even if you don't know who your mom and dad is, you could be sitting here today. And because of things that happened early on in your life, you don't even know who your mom and dad are. And you don't even know where they are. It doesn't matter in this sense. You are physically here because of a mom and a dad. And you are related to them and part of that family. And whether it is politically correct today or whether people want to hear it or they don't want to hear it, it is simply the result, listen, of male and female. Clearly, you do not have children without sperm and egg. You do not have children without male and female. And all the world knows it. Don't want to accept it, but it's biological design by the hand of God. And that is the first family. And we can all, even today, trace, if you will, our biological existence, not only back to our parents, even if you don't know them, but let me encourage you with this. It can be traced all the way back to Noah and the flood, because everything that you and I see is a result of the flood today, even the beauty of the fall. This is all And I'm saying the fall season, not the fall of man. But we're seeing this, and we look at it, and it's a result, really, of the hand of God. We can go all the way back to Noah, and then take Noah, and folks, it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. And you and I are related biologically to our first parents that God created. Now, that's just a general fact with us, but it's important for us to understand in the context that is also true with Jesus Christ. There are those who believe that he never came into this world biologically, but he had a real physical birth. And so when we see this in verses 19 and 20, don't just overlook that or take it for granted. His mother and his brothers came to him. It is dealing with the biological aspect of the Lord's existence. And it's very important to the gospel. We don't even have a gospel unless we understand that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, that he came into this world and took on physical existence. Go with me to Luke. We studied this already, but chapter 2 for just one moment. It'll be familiar to you. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. I don't want to overlook this biological aspect. In verse 1, and in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census would be taken in all the inhabited earth. This was the first sentence taken by Quirinius, who was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who he was engaged to him. And she was with child. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. What is that dealing with? The physical birth, if you will, of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born through Mary. This was her first son. However, this is a unique birth. Why? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Unlike your birth and my birth, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was a little different. In what way? I want you to see Matthew chapter 1. I want you to see these verses. I've spoken about this before, but I want you to see it. In Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, now the birth, he's talking about the physical coming into this world, of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother, physical, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph, we just read about that. Watch. Before they came together, before they had sexual intercourse, before they had relations, be it clear to you, that is what it is saying. She was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. In this particular case, it is a unique birth. In what way? A mom? Yes. And a physical dad? No. It was by the birth of the Holy Spirit. It is very clear. 19. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her. This is important to read this for some other comments that I'm going to make. Not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. His conception was unique. His conception was of the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, and she will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill that which was spoken through the Lord through the prophet, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, very important, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until She gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is a physical birth. We talk about this first family. Jesus had an earthly family. How was that? How did it come about? Mary was the one that bore him, just like other women did, but she was a virgin at the time. Joseph was not the father. The Holy Spirit was the one that conceived her. The birth itself was natural. He came into this world like any other child. However, Joseph was not the father of this child. And that is very clear from the text. She was a virgin. It was of the Holy Spirit. They had not had relations until Jesus Christ had been born. Second thing to note, Jesus had half-brothers, however, and sisters. Notice Matthew 1:25 again. He kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. It was until. He does not say that Mary remained a virgin for the rest of her life. She did not. The Lord had half-brothers and sisters. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. It's important to understand that Jesus Christ came into this world physically, and he also did have half-brothers and sisters. Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 53. When Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there. Now watch. He came to his hometown. Why his hometown? He was born into this world. And began teaching in their synagogues, so that they were all astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Is not this the carpenter's son?" That's Joseph. "Is not his mother called Mary?" And watch. "His brothers," and they're talking about physical, and they're named James, Joseph, Simeon, and Judas. And if you don't understand that and you think it's just talking about spiritual, look at verse 56. "And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did he get all these things?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household." And he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. What is that saying? They are named. Jesus had at least four brothers and at least two sisters. And I say that half brothers and half sisters who were physically born. Why is all of that important? Well, for a couple of reasons. One, Mary did not remain a virgin, as I said. These are not, as many commentaries have said, the cousins of Jesus. They're half brothers. It is not true, and neither is there any indication in Scripture anywhere, that Joseph had another wife prior to Mary, and that these people were of that marriage, and Mary remained a virgin, as is taught in many circles. That is not true either. She did not remain a virgin. The Lord Jesus Christ was a physical birth. It was through her, but the uniqueness was that it was from God. And why is that important? Because this is God in the flesh, as we just read in Matthew. This was God in the flesh. And according to John, it tells us very clearly that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And it goes on to say, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Dwelt among us. He tabernacled among us. And in verse 17, he's identified as Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, let's just turn to that one for 1 second. I want you to see this. Let's go to Hebrews. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. I won't go to the Colossians. You can turn to Colossians 1 on your own, chapter 1, verses 15 to 17, but I'll go to Hebrews 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, "And he," referring to his son, verse 2, "is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature, and he upholds all things by the word of his power, when he made purification of sins, and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high," referring to Jesus Christ. So he had a real physical birth in this world. And why was that? That was because he had to become like us as you will see later on when I refer to it in a minute. Now, what happens in our text, and why did they come? This is a physical family, is what I'm saying to you, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they came because of the crowd, and they couldn't get to him. It's very clear in verses 19 and 20. They're unable to get to him, and I won't turn to Mark, but in Mark chapter 3, verse 31, it says they actually stayed outside. They couldn't get near him, and so they sent a reporter, if you will, into him. And that's where it picks it up in verse 20. It was reported to him. They send someone in to say, hey, let him know that his mother's outside and his brothers and sisters. Why did they come to him? I want you to know this. The text does not say. This text does not say, but I guess I will turn to Mark chapter 3 because this could have been a part of the possibility. Go to Mark chapter 3 for a second. Why did they come? This is important for the distinction this morning. Mark chapter 3, verse 21. And when his own people heard this, and you can look at the context of that, they went out to take custody of him. For they were saying, he has lost his senses. Or, some may have translated, he has lost his mind. The King James, I believe, translates it, he's out of his mind. His own brothers and sisters thought he was nuts because of what he was saying and what he was claiming. They did not understand the gospel. By the way, neither did Mary. If you remember, just to recall a story to your mind, when they went to the temple when he was a young boy, they were looking for him, Joseph and Mary, and they say, where were you? And he said, you don't understand. I've been about my father's business. They couldn't comprehend everything that was involved with the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither did Mary. And not only that, we find out that his biological brothers, if you will, by way of half-brothers and sisters, hadn't even believed his message yet. Go with me to John chapter 7. Why is that important? Two families. Okay, John chapter 7, verse 5. Listen to what it says. Once I get there, I'm still in chapter 6. Chapter 7, verse 5. For not even his brothers were believing in him. What is that saying? There was a point in time where the Lord Jesus Christ was doing these miracles, was in front of them. He was related to them, but they didn't even believe his message. They didn't even believe the good news at that stage. And it's very important for us to understand that in the context of Luke, he was not being derogatory when we get to verse 21 about his approach and saying, these are my mothers and brother. Not being derogatory at all. Just need to understand that actually what he's doing is encouraging them about a new relationship and pointing out that even the biological relationship is not the most important. Biologically, something else very significant happens. We all die. All of us. Why is that important? Because the wages of sin is death. However, there's a gift that comes of eternal life. The scriptures tell us the wages of sin is death, that sin is a disobedience to the law of God, that death is a consequence of disobedience, and that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone that has come into this world biologically, with the exception of the unique Son of God, is a sinner and has fallen short of the glory of God. We will all face death, and judgment follows that. I will read to you just two quick passages that are very important. Romans chapter 5, and in Romans chapter 5, I just read verse 12 to you. Here's what it says. You can turn there if you want, but Romans 5, 12 says this. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, that was Adam, and death through sin, so that death is spread upon all men because all have sinned. Whether I know you this morning or not, you're a sinner. And we're part of this biological life where we're related to people and we're related to mankind and we're related to parents. However, we've all sinned and the result is death. And according to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto men once to die And then what? Comes the judgment. And you might sit there and say, well, I don't believe in a judgment. And that's what raises all kinds of questions. And by the way, that's why Jesus Christ came, according to Hebrews chapter 2. He came to be like those that were his beloved, Israel, specifically in the context, and he took on flesh, that which was not common to him, so that he might taste death. Why? Because he was sinless. Is there life after death? Do all go to heaven? Is there heaven and hell? This is where verse 21 of our text comes in. Go back there to Luke. But while there's a physical life, while there's a physical family, while we are all here, while we will die and all face death, and there is that relationship, he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. He is clearly talking about a different relationship, a second family, if you will, a second birth. This is called a spiritual birth. That's what he's referring to. He's not being derogatory to his mom. He's not being derogatory to his brothers. He's helping the crowd as he's been talking about and proclaiming the message of good news to them. He's telling them that there's a more important relationship. And what is that? Those who hear what? The word of God. The message of the kingdom of God. The good news that Jesus is the Messiah. In this audience this morning, there are probably some of you who have heard the word over and over and over again and have not yet received it. Because he says it's not only related because of what you've heard, but who do it, the end of verse 21. What does that mean? They believe it. They act on it. They put their faith in the Messiah. They put their faith in Jesus Christ. They count the cost. Luke is going to be dealing with that. Let me just show you something. Go with me to Luke 14. Just out of Luke. We'll end up dealing with this in detail later. Luke 14. That's really this verse. Verse 25. And large crowds, again, when we get to Luke chapter 14, large crowds, were going along with him. And he turned to them and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, that's a physical relationship, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. That relationship is important. He isn't saying go hate them, though it appears that way. He's giving us an understanding. That's one relationship, but that is a temporal relationship, and it is limited. And you have to go, and you have to follow Christ. There's a second birth that comes. Look at chapter 9 of Luke. Chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. And he said unto them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Why? For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. That's talking about another life. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. And again, chapter 9 and chapter 14, we'll deal with it later. What is the point? He's first. There's another birth. And that's really what being born again is all about. This is called the new birth. According to John chapter 3, you've probably heard the verse. You must be born again. There has to be a birth from above. We've experienced the physical birth, but if you do not experience the second birth, you will face condemnation. The second birth is the birth in which we have it from above, in which we become a new creation in Christ. Nicodemus, according to John chapter 3, as an older man, didn't understand that. How can I be born again? It's a term so loosely used today. Even it's done in Hollywood. But how can I really be born again? Can I enter in? He was very practical. And by the way, he was talking about himself. How can I can I go back and enter into my mother's womb again and be born? That's not possible. Of course not. That's a physical birth. You must be born of spirit. You must be born from above. There has to be a second birth. Why? Because we are spiritually dead. Man is spiritually dead since the fall because of sin. Sin entered into the world through one man, Adam. And now we're all sinners. We've come short of the glory of God. What does that mean? We will face death physically. That's to come. But we are spiritually dead. There is no life with God. Adam and Eve experienced walking in the garden, but they had to be cast out of the presence of God. Well, how do I get back into a right relationship with God? How do I get back into knowing God? Or how can I have that second birth? Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for who? The ungodly. Christ, physical birth? Yes. He had half brothers and half sisters, his mother. They all needed a new birth. He came as God in the flesh. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came into the world so people could have a new birth. Look at verse 7. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love. People have asked, where's the love of God with all that's going on in the world? God demonstrated his own love toward us. How? In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by his blood. He had to have the physical. We shall be saved from the wrath of God. How? Through him. For if while we were the enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. It is very clear. What's very clear? There has to be a new birth. Christ died because we are spiritually dead. And how are we made alive? Listen, we are made alive by the work of God and the work of Jesus through Jesus Christ and that alone. Nothing else. He died for our sins. We can't pay the price. It is a free gift. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, most people know it. For by grace you have been saved. How? Through faith. And that not of yourselves. And that word that gets debated by all these theologians, just look at the whole context. For by grace you have been saved. You are saved. How does that salvation come? It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's referring to the whole process of salvation. It's just like your physical birth. How many of you here today, I'll ask for a show of hands. I don't care how old you are. How many of you here today had anything to do with your first birth, your physical birth? Anyone? How many of you told your parents, hey, by the way, have a good night tonight because I got to be born? Right? I'm just being practical about it. No, we had nothing. We received it. Well, what about the second birth? Well, maybe if I go to the church and I just memorize all the scripture I can, 12 verses in a year, that's a lot of verses. Maybe if I get that memorized. Maybe if I read my Bible every day. Maybe if I go to church every day. Maybe if I do these conditions. Maybe if I'm just good enough to my neighbors. Maybe if I can obtain this second birth. I can get to heaven. I can have hope with God and have a relationship with God. None of it works. Turn with me to John chapter 1. I want you to see this. What he's saying to these folks is, yes, I have a relationship with these that are outside, but the real relationship that counts is my mothers and brothers here, ones that are part of a second family, ones who have had a second birth, ones that belong to me. And it's those who have heard the word and believe it. I want you to notice in John chapter 1 and in verse 12, look at what it says carefully. John chapter 1, verse 12. I'll go back to verse 12 is fine. But as many as what? Received him, to them he gave the right to what? Become the children of God. I've had many a person over the years in my ministry that have said to me, I kind of knew God ever since I was born. Not really. You might have had an awareness of God. You might have had an awareness to want to know God, but you didn't know God. He says that he gave them the right to become. You don't get born into this world and already have the second birth. To those who receive him, to them gave the power or the right to become the children of God. What does that mean? Even to those who believe in his name. To those who have trusted in him, in other words. To those who are part of his family. And by the way, turn with me to Acts chapter 1 for just a moment. Acts chapter 1. I want you to see something. Then I'm going to go back to John for just a minute. Acts chapter 1, I want you to go to verse 14. This is after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's back in heaven, and the folks are praying together. But I want you to notice verse 14. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, Men of Judah, and all you who live in Jerusalem, let it be known unto you. That's chapter 2. Sorry, I was going to say that's the wrong passage. Okay, chapter 1, verse 14. These all with one mind were continuing devoting themselves to prayer along with the women and Mary who? And who else? Oh. What are you pointing out, Pastor Dan? Guess what? It was no different from Mary. It was no different from Mary's children. They needed the second birth. Mary herself had to be saved. And she was. You find out in Scripture, people are praying to Mary today. Wrong. There's one mediator between God and man, and that is Christ Jesus. That's it. Even Mary said she rejoiced in her Savior, who was her son. And you find out by the time you come to Acts, I read John 7 to you, when they were on earth and they were coming to find and get him, they thought he was a madman. By the time you come to Acts chapter 1, verse 14, by the way, which happens after the resurrection, they are there praying and they are noted among the disciples of God. In fact, in your Bible, you have the book of James. It was written by the Lord's half-brother, who had come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and experienced the second birth. If Mary needed it and his brothers needed it, so do we. All men, women, boys, and girls need this new birth. And even his family members. Oftentimes people say, what happened to Joseph? I don't know. Many have said that Joseph was probably dead by this time. That's why when Mary approached with the brothers in our text, Joseph was not there. It's probably true, but we don't know for sure. But here's what I want you to think about. Go with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. You may be thinking, Pastor Dan, I hear what you're saying. I know death is coming. I know I've had this physical birth. You know, we're intelligent people. So I know I belong to this physical birth, that's biological. I know death is coming, but I'm not so sure about the resurrection later on. I'm not so sure about this other birth that you say has to be. And yet the scriptures that I just quoted a minute ago said that after you die, then comes the judgment. Well, maybe everybody's just going up different sides of the mountain and they're all going to get to heaven the same way or different ways, but we'll get up to the same place, right? John chapter 8, I want you to look at verses 39 forward. Jesus, I want you to understand the context a little bit here quickly. He is talking to the most religious people of the day. He is talking to those who could quote scripture in the Old Testament backwards, forwards, upside down. He is talking to people who are doing everything in their power to try by their own methods to honor God, thinking that they were the children of God. How do you know that, Pastor Dan? Verse 39. And he answered and said to them, they answered, these people, and said to him, Jesus, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, you do the deeds of Abraham. What is that? He heard and he obeyed. That's what it is. But verse 40. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God, this Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds, now watch this, of your father. Now who are they thinking is their father? Well, let's see what they say. They said unto him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father. And who did they say? God. What do you hear in the world that you're walking around in today? I believe in God. God's my father. These were religious people. These were descendants of the Jewish race. Verse 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and have come from him. For I have not even come of my own initiative, but he sent me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Right? Verse 43. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It is because you cannot. What are we supposed to do? The people that belong to the true family of God, first they do what? Hear the word of God. You cannot hear my word. Why? Verse 44. You are of your father. What's the next two words? These are people that were religious. These are people, I can't believe that message that it's only in Christ. There's too many religions in the world. There's all different ways. We're all going to get there. I'm part of the family of God just like you are. There's a lot of people that are saying that, that are in the wide path that is leading to destruction, and they're on their way to hell. And that could be the case of some of you today. Professing that God's your father and you've never come to trust in Christ. He says you're of your father, and he says the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of liars. How's that for winning people politically correct? He looks at these religious leaders and looks them right in the eye and says, yeah, you're of a family, but it's not God's family. What is all of that saying? All of that in the point of Luke is this. His biological family comes and wants to greet him. The Lord respects that, and he identifies with that, but he says there's a more important family. And he says, who are they? It's those who hear the word and do the word. How many times have you heard the gospel and have not yet believed? If you're in that category, be it known unto you that you have experienced your physical birth, you will experience another family. But right now, God is not the family you belong to. It is only those who have heard the message that has been proclaimed and has been taught and has been spoken of by the Lord Jesus Christ, and people have heard it and believed it. What does that mean? It's not just head knowledge. The scriptures tell us very clearly, listen, that the demons believe that Jesus is the Christ and they tremble. They have head knowledge, but it's never gone 18 inches. It hasn't settled in their heart. They haven't counted the cost. There are people, and that's why I looked at those passages very quickly in Luke. There are people that are adding Jesus to your life. Oh, you got Jesus? Yeah, I got Coca-Cola and I got Jesus. I got Allah and I got Jesus. I got this God and I got Jesus. I got all the bases covered. It doesn't work that way. You have Jesus and only Jesus, so you don't have any salvation. It's only in Jesus Christ. And the ones that are part of the family of God, we just saw in John, are those that have believed on his name. The good news is, even his own earthly brothers, half-brothers and half-sisters and mother had not come to understand him by our text in Luke. But it's interesting because Dr. Luke is the one who is used to write the book of Acts. And when he writes that book, in the very first chapter, he wants us to know, by the way, now among the disciples are his mother and his brothers, because they have come from darkness to light. And that's the desire. You have experienced the physical and biological birth that I have experienced as well. We will all have another family that we belong to spiritually. It is either the family of God or the family of the devil. The only way you have the second birth, the birth that comes from above, is by believing what this text has been talking about, the proclamation of the gospel. And what that believing is, that's acting on it. It's hearing that Jesus is the Christ and simply coming to him. I have nothing to bring, just like with my first birth. I have nothing to bring. I come as a sinner, but I trust that Jesus Christ, who didn't just die on the cross, he rose from the dead victoriously. Because when you do experience your death, you will find yourself either on the narrow path that leads to life eternal, or the wide path that leads to destruction. And there's many that find that path because they're trying to do it their own way. Are you really a member of the family of God? Have you experienced that second birth? Have you trusted in Christ? You know what? You can't wait to settle that issue. This could be your last day. For most people, the day of their death is not known that day yet. What happens is they get up and expect to spend life the way they normally would. And that's the day it ends. That's even scriptural. You had the one that was going to build all these bonds, I'm going to do everything. You fool. You fool. This very day, your soul will be required of you. And then what? What does it matter if the man gains the whole world and loses his soul? You'll end up in eternity in hell forever. That is not the message that this world is giving, but it's the message that people need to hear. The good news is Jesus Christ came and died and paid the penalty and price for our sin, and the Father accepted the sacrifice. So as many as believe on him will not perish but have eternal life. And if you trusted in Christ today, you need to understand that counting the cost is he's first in everything. It's not a side game where I play religion. Christ is truly my life. Galatians makes it very clear that the life that I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The first part of the verse says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. Fellow believer, rejoice in that and live for him today till we meet him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you and praise you for the word of God. I thank you for even a practical lesson of his family, where they came to him and they wanted to see him, maybe even to protect him because of the crowds. We don't know all their motives, but Father, we also know that the Lord was very clear in teaching us that the real people that are part of the family of God are those who have heard the word, the message of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, and do it, have exercised faith in it. And I thank you that in this auditorium, many have trusted in Christ. Help us never to lose sight of that, to never devalue it, to always appreciate it, and to realize that we've been bought with a price. And now we're to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are his. But Father, for those who have maybe heard this message for the first time, or have heard it over and over and over again, and could be just like the religious leaders of the day, who thought that God was their father when in reality it was Satan. Wake up their hearts today. Help them to see that today is the day of salvation. Help them to see that they need the new birth, the birth from above. And help them, Father, to trust in Jesus Christ, who is the only Savior that you've provided, that they might have eternal life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.